Greetings. We're going to be talking about a three-part series on becoming. And becoming is, I know it. We've had, you know about the book Becoming by Michelle Obama. I'm not copying her. It's just that's what it is. It's okay. Let's call it something different. Let's call it. Changing me, right? Mm-hmm. So in this series of Beyond, we're going to be changing me. You're going to be defining me. And finally, rebirth. Okay, so the first series would be defining me, because you cannot change something you haven't defined, right? In order to change, you have to redefine. Mm-hmm. So, in the part where we're going beyond ourselves, beyond living for ourselves, beyond the negative, beyond the selfish, we now have a part to play where we must acknowledge that the world needs us. And this world that needs us has to be defined. And we need to define ourselves within the context of this world. And we have to define ourselves as God sees us, who is our creator and father, right? It becomes very difficult to get any tangible results out of something that you have not defined. A goal must be defined. A milestone must be defined, or a result that you're looking to achieve. And that defines the input, the number of hours that you need to put in, the amount of time that you need to drive in, the effort required, the people needed, the connections, the places, the know-how, the method, and the resources. So we need to define what is it that we are changing. So we're changing ourselves. We're changing who we are. And why are we changing? Because we must build capacity to become the best version of ourselves. Now, to be the best version of yourself, you need to know who you are. Because who you are is a state. It is immutable. It is undeniable. It is a fact. Regardless of your ups and downs in life. Now, once you've discovered who you are, which is a permanent state, which is not defined by circumstances, which does not fluctuate depending on the amount of money in your account, then you can begin to build up capacity to become who you are in an innate sense. Right? So, Caroline, who's speaking to you, is powerful, fact, is wealthy, fact, is a loving being, fact, has loads of resources, fact, is built with tenacity, fact. She's resilient. Fact. She's born of heavenly seed. Fact. She has an eternal mission. Fact. She's ethereal. Fact. She is unravelable. I don't even know where the Holy Spirit gets these words from. She cannot be fully revealed. Fact. In other words, there's always another frontier to discover after you've discovered a one part of yourself, after the piece that you know, there's always another piece. We are built with the complexity of God Himself. You cannot fully discover who God is. There's always something. There's always something new. Now, I know we say God is good, God is love, God is patient, but there's always more detail and specificity and even revelation that you don't quite get to know until you're standing face to face before your God. And so God told me this morning, remain in my glory and you will see my glory. In other words, the glory of God cannot be manifested outside of his presence. For Moses to see the back of God, he had to be in the presence of God. So you too need to go up the mountain and be in the presence of God. Now, a mountain is not physical. It just means that you have to be attuned to a different wavelength. The same kind of wavelengths that we have for radio, we have spiritual wavelengths of faith, of openness of heart, where you wait upon the Lord as your ultimate source, without striving, without seeking any other source of fulfillment or joy. And half the time to get there, God has to get us to the end of the rope, or of our rope or our road, where we think that there is no way through, where it's a dead end. And God uses that dead end feeling or dead endness to reveal himself, to show you that there's another way. So Hillsong, through one artist, I think he's called Kevin. I could be wrong. It says in one of his songs that there is another way when the walls seem to be closing in. That there's a grace when the heart is under fire. And I know I have saved that song. I sang it and recorded it in one of the episodes here on my podcast. So you can go back and listen to it. It's called Another in the Fire. That just goes to show that a lot of people discover God when they're at their wit's end, when they have exhausted their human knowledge, their known ways of handling things, and when they have exhausted their own resources or their own capacity to deal. Now, I'm going to be talking for long hours, but you'll get used to it. The number one thing that gets people addicted is power, or lack of it. When a man is looking for a way out, he can either despair or he can hit the nail on the head by discovering the true source of power. A lot of people are powerless. They're powerless because they never understood their own power within, but most importantly, the power of God. The power of God is shown and reveals itself in the most unlikely means and places. And one of them is being stranded. Imagine this, you're in a forest, and there are many ways, many pathways to your exit route, but you can only choose one pathway at a time. Now, it is likely that you'll end up circling that forest a couple of times. But it's also likely that one of those paths will eat you home. Some of the people find their way home, but a lot of people are suckling in the forest. God woke me up the other day with this quote. He remarked or said to me, there are a lot of people on this earth think they know what they are doing, but they don't. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know where they're coming from. They have no expectations, and they don't know how to reach their fulfillment, their best self. Now, the best self anybody is reached when they know who they truly are. You gotta get to the core of who you are. At the core of you, in the middle, in the center of it all, is your spirit. That's your core. Your spirit came from somewhere. Now, it did not come from the devil. The spirit of God did not come from you either. You don't create your own spirit. God gave you a spirit. It says in Genesis 1 that God breathed into man, and then there was life in him. That life is Ruach. That life is the Ruach. That life is the life of God. It is life, capital L. It is the life which will be retired when you die and will find a new home. So it will be sad for some people to retire and live a life on the other side of torment and pain and affliction. You'd rather be afflicted now on earth for refinement than for eternity. On the other hand, there are people whose rock or life, capital L, will retire for eternity in the presence of God, who was its creator anyway. So that's why we say, may God rest his soul in eternal peace. The most peaceful place for anything is its home, where it was once created, where it once lived in freedom. Going back home is a definition and the epitome of peace. So when we know that our source of peace is returning to God, then it makes sense for us to seek his presence even here on earth, because it's a precursor or a preamble to eternal peace. When you have peace here on earth, and having peace here on earth is dictated by the time spent with God in his presence. That's why it says in Psalm 91, verse 1, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High shall dwell under the wings of protection of the Almighty. What do you think that means? That means that if you abide, if you dwell under the shelter of the wings of God, there's peace and there's protection. But before that, you have to have the discipline to abide within his courts or his house or his dwelling place. You have to go where he dwells. You have to visit God often and even choose to remain there. So you have to visit God and choose to remain there. Some of us are frequent flyers into God's presence. He doesn't need to entertain you 1 hour a day. He wants you to dwell, to remain, to abide. When you abide, it's a conscious decision. You choose to abide. You choose to stay in His presence. You choose to stay where He is. And if you don't stay where He is, He has a way of pulling you out into the darkness and forcing you to return to the very place where He is. Now there may be noise in the background, but you'll hear me just fine. Don't worry. So, God is a good God. He doesn't want us to miss it. He says, you abide and you will dwell. So here's where the effort is. It's in the abiding. It's very difficult for an animal like a dog without a leash to stay in the house. Naturally, it wants to go out. It wants to stray. It wants to discover its boundaries. It wants to survey its quote-unquote territory. Although nobody has given it to him, how does it know it's its territory? So some of us are busy where we're not supposed to be yet. And even when we go without our master. So we are open to attack and we are open to fights from other dogs. We are open to danger. So likewise, as a human spirit, we have to abide in the presence of God. The Spirit is in charge. Once the Spirit abides, it has to draw the soul, which is your will, your thoughts, and your emotions also need to abide, have to be governed and disciplined to focus on the presence of God. You have to salute Him. You have to agree to be where He is. You have to agree that is your will. You have to draw your emotions to where He is. You gotta be thinking about Him always. You have to be in full knowledge and acceptance of His will over your will. You have to entertain Him willingly, happily, joyfully. As your spirit is drawn to Him, you too, in your mind, in your emotions, and in your will, must be drawn to God. And then your body has to be dragged along. Now many a times, I have fallen asleep thinking that I was praying. Maybe my mind was engaged, but the minute my body was in that posture of sleep, guess what? I slept. I was no longer praying. I'd gone to another realm of sleep. So your body has to be dragged into the presence of God. It means getting up to pray. It means pacing up and down if you have to. It means that you cannot assume that you're in church physically and therefore you're in church emotionally or even psychologically. Or in your will, because you may be in church, but you may be refusing everything that the preacher is saying. That means your will is not engaged. You have not submitted your will, or your mind has wandered, right? So all the parts of our being have to be in God's presence at all times. And that is why God said that His first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your will, basically. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength is everything that makes up of you. So you must abide in the presence of God at all times. The presence is what called the glory this morning. The glory of God. The glory of God is attracted by surrender. It's attracted by full availability, by total acceptance, total surrender, and anticipation or expectation of the presence of God. So the analogy that God gave me is like you're expecting a president of a nation. If for any reason you need to host a president, or the president himself needs to host another president, all effort goes towards making that state visit comfortable. They pick him up on time. They prepare for where he's gonna stay. They ensure there is topmost security. They ensure that there's protocol, that there's good relations, there's people to take care of every need, food, accommodation, the papers or the talks that are going to be put on the table have been prepared, the topics of discussion, the press releases, the interviewing, schedule for interviews with the media, everything has to be thought of. So likewise, when you plan to host the presence of God, no detail is wasted. You go to the lengths that it takes. You think of what you're going to wear. You think of where he's going to stay. You think of how you're going to present yourself, the cases that you're going to have. Every sort of detail has to be covered. How you portray yourself to him, how you portray yourself, himself to others. You got to think of the timing of the scheduling, and you're not late, and you stay the whole time engaged with that conversation. If this president was hosting this other president, let's say, okay, let me not name names, but if he was on his phone during conversations, the guest president would think that he's being rude or disinterested, and that stops discussions. So even us, when we are engaging with God, or when we purport to set time aside for God, you cannot be doing anything else. You can't be on your phone. A lot of times, we make the mistake of carrying on our will and our own interests into the presence of God. You gotta check everything out at the door that has to do with self, and come in fully under the authority and control of who you're coming to meet. You have to be accepting of God because he's the creator. You have to be honoring and respectful. You gotta come as a child coming to learn, as a child coming to an adult. They know nothing. So you gotta come in innocence. Not that you can't ask any questions, or that you cannot quiz or question, but it has to come from a place of purity and a place of really wanting to learn. So you come before God in honor, in respect, in willingness to learn and to apply, and deep interest. Gotta have interest in the things of God. You gotta be interested in what he has to say and therefore be fully engaged. And that comes with honoring and respect. When you honor, you don't do anything less than the best. So in defining me, this is just a short introduction. We will be doing what you are and who you are, what you're meant to accomplish, and who you truly are. It is known to many people who others expect them to be, who others expect them to what others expect them to accomplish. But very few people ask God who He is to them, what they should accomplish for Him, and who they are in context of Him. So the power to define all this is your power to change any perspective that differs from that. Now, a lot of people were born to this world with gifts, with talents that somebody did not think were worthy enough to make money or to do certain things. But God gave you those talents. God gave you those gifts. So you gotta go back to Him and ask Him, why did you put this gift inside of me? What did you want it to accomplish? You have to work all your talents. You have to work out all your skills. Because they're there for a reason. You have to work out all your natural gifts. None is wasted unless you choose to waste it. And many a times people discover the true use of their talents after they have worked it out to perfection. That's when it finds voice. But it cannot find voice on a raw state without exercising it. You lose its power. Can only have power when it is matured and perfected. That's when it becomes a mouthpiece for what God wants it to achieve. Okay. So the third section, after we define who we are, is a rebirth. The rebirth is when you come of age, when you have used up your resources well, and when you have defined yourself well, when you're changed and metamorphosized, and then there's always a new cycle, so you start all over. Just when you think you have it all together, God will require you to be reborn again on a new capacity. It's like a metamorphosis from one state to another. And you'll always be growing from one state to another. And you'll always be channeling from one state to another. That means, like I said earlier, you never fully discover yourself. Your potential is never completely wasted. I mean completely exhausted. But your body wastes away. Sometimes too soon. But you could always do more. You could always do more. Alright, so I'll leave it at that for now. See you in the next audio, as we go deeper into changing me, defining me, and even the rebirth. Bye-bye for now.